what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
That can't be right. Heat index at Brookley is 109. 109. It's only, looks like it's only 103 for the rest of the city, and 108 for Foley and down the Gulf, 103. We'll get more from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams coming up in just a little bit. It's August. That's what it do around here in August. We just have to get through it. All right, next 2 hours, live local talk. Of course, it's Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all. Phone number, text line 343-0106. Lots to do on today's show, and we'll get into some national news. We'll also get some local goings on with the Mobile Comedy Festival happening in the next 4 days or so. Representatives from that group are going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. If you like stand up comedy, there's a lot of it going on in our city right now. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Now, I don't know if this doesn't have the comedic effect of a good stand-up routine, but it does have some of the aw shucks moments as Mobile and Baldwin County cities and counties vote on toll resolutions. Now, this is something that was discussed from the city of Mobile side months ago, but now back in the news with some votes this week in Baldwin County. And when we start talking about these kind of issues, I go to my friend John Sharp with AL.com, and he joins us right now. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm good. So, yeah, so this is your story up at AL.com about counties and cities voting on toll resolutions. Now, these resolutions don't do anything, right? They're just like, yeah, we're for it, or we want you to do this, but they don't carry any weight.
Well, it depends on who you ask. I mean, you know, you ask some of the toll opponents, they'd like to get these cities all on the record to basically come out and say, hey, you know, these cities actually oppose these tolls and put it, you know, on official record that they can gather up and take with them as they go forward in this opposition push.
Okay. So, but once again, like, Daphne can't do something to stop Aldott.
Oh, of course. No, they can't. But, you know.
So this is for show. It's for show. Okay. Right?
Essentially so, yes.
Okay. I just want to point that out. I mean, I'm not saying that they should. I'm on board with opposing the toll. I just like to make sure we talk about facts, and they can have all the resolutions they want, whether they be county or city, but these things are just for show.
Yeah, it's kind of a feel-good thing. You know, it's registering. You know, it's, city officials are listening to what their constituents are telling them, and they feel like they got to do something, and this is about the only avenue they can go in and do it. Yeah, no, Daphne can't come out and say, you know, we oppose tolls, and then all of a sudden the toll's going to go away. That's not realistic.
Right. Okay, so let's go down through, you know, how the different counties and municipalities have voted. And then, in addition, the semantics here, the nuance is important of the language in these resolutions. You point that out in your story. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, we had some two sides of that coin this week. Daphne voted for a second time they voted on this. The first time they voted on a kind of a memorandum in regards to their position on tolls, and that was during the comment period back in May, so they could put something in the official files with ALDOT during that official comment period that has already come and passed. And so fast forward here to July 19th, the city of Spanish Fort voted on a resolution in opposition of tolls or to alleviate or greatly reduce tolls for the project. And, you know, I guess you know, a lot of attention has been paid since the month of June on this issue, especially on social media through Jim Ziegler's Facebook page and the Block the Mobile Bayway toll Facebook page. And so some folks were saying, well, hey, Daphne, how come you haven't voted on a resolution? And some of the council members were like, well, we already did. But what they actually voted on was kind of a memorandum or a memo of some sort. They didn't vote on an official, on a resolution per se. So they decided, well, we'll put this in a whereas form document and vote on a resolution. And that's what they went ahead and voted on Monday. But they eliminated the word greatly reduced. Meaning that their resolution essentially says that they're pushing for a project that alleviates, you know, that tolls are not part of the equation. And so, you know, that's been now documented in Daphne's records, and that's what they voted on. The next day, the Baldwin County Commission votes on a on a resolution that used the word great, that they would support a toll that was, you know, greatly reduced from its current funding amounts, or that they were pushing for ALDOT to investigate other funding sources that would help greatly reduce the tolls necessary for the project. And that word, that phrase, greatly reduced, is something that, you know, a lot of the toll opponents have latched on, saying, no, we want no tolls at all. So, you know, your resolution essentially is something that, you know, that we don't support. And so that's kind of interesting, you know, between the two government bodies. You had DAFNI on one side where they took out that greatly reduced phrase, and then Baldwin County had it in there. And so that's, you know, that's caused a little bit of disruption there. But essentially neither one, Baldwin County Commission or the DAFNI City Council, can vote on a resolution that's all of a sudden going to make all the tolls vanish. But, you know, there's a lot of attention paid on this issue right now, so that every little turn of the screw type of matter involved is definitely getting a scrutiny.
Well, let's bring it to the west side here for the city of Mobile. And, I mean, you point out here Mobile is the largest city that would be directly affected by the toll.
Yeah, so the all eyes are going to be on the city of Mobile, and City Councilman LeVon Manzi indicated that he is interested in having a resolution come before the council to vote on. Now, how that'll look, we don't know yet, but, you know, he says it's coming in a matter of a couple of weeks. I would imagine all these things would be wrapped up before the October 7th meeting date up in Montgomery for the Alabama Toll Road Bridge and Tunnel Authority, which the governor has since called, in which there will be a lot of interest in that, and a lot of attention paid to that, and a lot of our local officials will probably be at that meeting. So one would think that all these resolutions would come to a head, but before then.
But what can be done? Okay, and I want to get back to a couple of these county municipality questions. But we come back from the break. I want to talk about what could be done at this meeting that's coming up October 17th. Could something actually be changed in that, or how exactly that works? We'll talk about this more with John Sharp from AL.com when we come back. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Damn proud to have you on board. Thanks for being here.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Phone number, text line 343-0106. Also, check us out online, streaming there. Also streaming through the TuneIn Radio app and the Simple Radio app. It's check those out for Android or iPhone. And fmtalk1065.com on the web. All right, continue our conversation with my buddy John Sharp with AL.com. You got to read through the story to get to check all the marks here to make sure you know who has voted on what meaningless, I'm sorry, non-binding resolution out there when you read Mobile, Baldwin County's cities vote on toll resolutions. John, you mentioned we're going on both sides of the bay how they have voted, but you did mention what happened this week with the moving of the toll authority from, I think, September 17th to this time in October. What does the toll authority do? Can they change this? What's their job?
Well, we're all interested in finding out because I don't think this group has really ever met, and at least not in a very long time. I can't really pinpoint the last time they met. But it's a group that the governor is the chair of, and they are gathering to get together. This was a call of State Senator Greg Allbritton. He requested this meeting, and he was talking about this last month.
He's on that commission, right?
He is on that.
He's the only one from South Alabama on that commission, if I'm right.
You're correct.
Okay,
you're correct.
Just checking.
He's the only one from... Yes, the only one from South Alabama on the commission, and they will gather up and, Joe Bonner's on it as well.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So Joe Bonner is there, and I've asked this question. Joe, South Alabama guy, but Joe is one of, we'll call the governor's contingent on there, right? So the governor, the chief of staff, and one other person from the governor's office is there. It's not like Joe Bonner's going to go disagree with his boss.
I agree, yeah. So, but yeah, he is on there as well, and at any rate, to make a long story short, this group does, I don't think it's really met much at all before, so this is going to be interesting to find out. I think we're all kind of treading on new territory here. Nowhere in the States there been a toll project of this magnitude pitched before. I suspect there hasn't been a $2.1 billion project under consideration before. So, I mean, this thing is a massive thing. And so all I know at this point is what this meeting is going to entail is an opportunity for the public, for businesses, for politicians to come in and provide some thoughts and input into the project, into the toll proposal, and to provide any substantive alternatives, you know, things that can be realistically considered. I mean, you know, stuff that you can think of while you're sitting at your computer, like, oh, we need casino gambling in order to raise money to build this bridge. That's probably not going to go over well in front of these folks. I mean, they want some real ideas, you know, whether or not there could be, potential another tax source or something out there that, you know, that folks might not have considered at this point. That could be a realistic alternative to help drop down this toll. But my understanding at this point right now is that, you know, the governor, and she was in town here earlier today, speaking at a Chamber of Commerce function, that she is, supportive of the project overall. But, you know, she's interested in seeing what kind of alternatives there are to tolling. But that, you know, she sees the need in this project of moving forward. And that's kind of where we stand right now. The toll authority could come out and say that, you know, they could hear enough feedback and make a recommendation at the project that the no-build option, I guess, move forward. But I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I guess we just kind of wait and see. I would suggest that October 7th, if people are interested in weighing in or seeing what's going on, to make this trip to Montgomery, because this is an important meeting. That's why it was moved. On the 17th of September, which is when it was originally scheduled on Friday, was scheduled for September 17th. There's several conflicts going on. We have a referendums going on in Spanish Fort and Fairhope on raising property taxes. And then there was several elected officials that are going to be out of town in Washington, D.C. on a trip to talk about the tolls. So the governor saw all of what was going on and decided, you know, we got to reserve a date where there's not any of these conflicts. Set everything aside to have this meeting. But it is in Montgomery. It's not in Mobile, so folks will have to travel.
You know, as much as I lampoon the counties and municipalities that are getting on the record where they stand on the toll, I will say this, that flipping around here, and the part that is the handles on this that is getting the most scrutiny, the most jeers back, and like you mentioned, that greatly reduced, not just saying no tolls, but or greatly reduced. And my only argument to that would be if you're playing a long game and you think that this is going to happen one way or another, you're a lot better off if you're in a situation where you've at least given – it's either – there's not just A and B, right? I mean, I agree. I'm a no-toll person. I'm going to fight the tolls. But if they do happen, having some sort of voice in the fact that, well, they need to be severely curtailed from $6.
Right. I guess you could work in the wording severely curtailed into these resolutions. At this point, I think it is also a statement too of where we're at in infrastructure, transportation, financing, where you got city councils and small little community and a Loxley city council member being scrutinized for his vote on a resolution that might not be worded the right way that a internet contingent might want it worded as. I mean, that's it's been how many years since the federal gas tax has gone up to help support the highway trust fund? I mean, there's larger issues here at play. And here we are in South Alabama debating how a city council member voted on a resolution that really doesn't mean anything. And, I think there's a bigger story there to be told. And maybe it'll be told a little bit more as we keep going. I mean, this is a hot issue for this area. It's a fascinating public policy debate. And I think this is, we're not in a vacuum in Alabama. There's these debates going on in other parts of the country. I know, for instance, Connecticut is just, you know, tolls are a big part of the public policy discourse up there right now. That's a statewide matter. And so, we're not discussing this in a vacuum.
Well, okay. And also you mentioned the people that may go up to this meeting in October, not just people on the commission, but other politicians. I even though we see it surely at a state level with the Senate race, But locally, I can't imagine that there's anybody that's running for office. I would point out both parties, from what I have heard, that would be somebody who would be on the side of a $6 toll. That seems to be moot, even though it's going to, you know, it's almost like you have to check it off if you're running for office. I don't think there's going to be anybody in support. I think we can assume that the South Alabama contingent, both R's and D's, if we had I's in the mix, that all say no.
No, you're correct. Yeah, and this is a bipartisan thing. I mean, that, what we've seen. I mean, this Facebook page has got what, about 50,000 followers. That's pretty significant, and it's growing still. And you know, folks are vehemently opposed. And we've talked about this before about policy matters in Alabama. There's regionalism involved. There's South Alabama, the beaches, and you know what we bring to the state in tourism, and we feel like that we don't get enough back from the state as in regards to that, and that's part of the, you know, we butt heads with folks up in Huntsville who believe, you know, that they're, you know, with the advent of the car manufacturing industry, that, you know, they're bringing in their share, and they should get their share back. So this is a big statewide issue right now, and there's a lot of folks that are still sore over the whole BP, you know, how the BP settlement funds were handled, and that a lot of that money's going back into the general fund and the pay for statewide issues, and that now you know our gas tax has just gone up, and that on top of that we have, you know, we're looking at having to be, you know, being paid extra on tolls. So yeah, I mean, there's a bigger discussion on this, and if you're a politician from this area, you know your constituents are down here, and they're the ones that are upset over the fact that, you know, they're looking at a $6 one-way toll or a $90 per month monthly pass. And it's just, if you're a politician, that can't set well. You have to listen to your constituents, but also understand that, you know, we also have an infrastructure issue with I-10, and how are we going to pay for that? And, you know, federal resources are not what they once were as far as addressing these major projects. So it's quite a dilemma if you're an elected official trying to, you know, walk that fine line.
Yeah, and one of the things I think is frustrating, frustrates me, and I talk to enough people every week here at the station, that we don't seem to be given, it's either this or nothing, right? It's either the full plan with all the, you know, all the trappings, or it's nothing. I don't hear a lot of discussions, well, we could, you know, if that one's too much, if we can't get you the deluxe version, here's the XL, or here's the economy version of it. I haven't heard that discussed.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, again, I hope that, you know, some of this stuff comes out of that toll authority meeting where we're talking about some of these. You know, why can't it be scaled back a little bit? Why can't we piecemeal this project? You know, there's a ton of questions. This is a major, major project. There's a lot of elements to it. And I think everybody with questions, hopefully will get a lot of those questions out there and hopefully a lot of answers back. You know, again, you know, I've heard that too. You know, why can't we work on the east side first, and then we come back and do the west side? You know, that sort of thing. You know, those are all good questions. You know, and it's, like I said, it's a major project that requires, I think, more public conversation about. And October 7th is going to be a very important date for people to pay attention to. I just hope, you know, I hope a lot of folks travel up to Montgomery for this. I hope that there is enough room in the state capitol for this meeting. I imagine there'll be a lot of interest paid to it. And, you know, this is a very interesting time for this area. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're talking about a lot of big major projects, and this is one of them. I mean, this is a big one.
All right, John, remind folks that go to AL.com and just search for you. But what's the clearinghouse for all things John Sharp?
Well, yeah, I'm post all my stories on Twitter at JohnSharp99.
Have you started any in-depth football trash talking yet?
No, but I'm looking forward to I participated last year in your little
big.
What do you call it? Yeah, your picks.
The college pick 'em, yes.
Confidence poll.
Yes,
yeah.
And it's coming back.
And I'll be in back of that. Yeah, I was doing quite well for a while, and then I fell apart at the end of the year. That's usually how it works.
But, see, I started early.
I'll be back.
I fell apart early and fell apart middle and fell apart late, so it was good for me. All right, John.
Well, we'll be back at it. I'm looking forward to it. Football season is just around the corner. I think we're all looking forward to that.
That is for sure. There he is, folks, my buddy John Sharp. And we'll get your phone calls when we come back. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, coming to the phones in just a second. Do want to point this out. Kind of a little cough in my voice when I talk about this. Today, National Purple Heart Day. It's August 7th. National Purple Heart Day observed August 7th each year, a time for we Americans to pause and remember and honor the brave men and women who were either wounded on the battlefield or paid the ultimate sacrifice with their lives. Purple Heart Day, also known as National Purple Heart Day, Purple Heart Recognition Day, and Purple Heart Appreciation Day, is observed on this year, of course, today, August 7th, every year, August 7th. Holiday first observed back in 2014. It's considered an unofficial observance, meaning that businesses, government offices don't close on this day, but certain states and counties and cities pause in recognition. I know MLB, they're wearing purple tonight, so the game's doing a special event in the seventh inning as well. Veteran and military organizations hold remembrance meetings for fallen heroes and special events to thank soldiers, veterans, and Purple Heart recipients on this day. And the Purple Heart Foundation, the fundraising arm of the Military Order of the Purple Heart, recommends donating time and money to a foundation or other organization working with Purple Heart recipients. And people will take time to listen to soldiers and veterans and learn more about their life stories and military services. I will put a picture up on Twitter in just a second. So my late father-in-law, the Mrs. Dad, Purple Heart recipient in Vietnam, and put that picture up here in just a second on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. So do not forget today, Purple Heart Day. All right, to the phones, phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106, and look at here. This man knows his way around the studio, hosted the show for me while I was out of town last week, Dr. Lou Campomenosi. Hey, man.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. So you heard my conversation with John Sharp there, the latest.
I did.
Yeah, the latest roundup here.
Let me just briefly say thank you for the Purple Heart talk that you just gave, because yesterday at the Baldwin County Commission, they recognized several Purple Heart members, and the leader of their group came and gave a really nice discussion about the history of the Purple Heart. And I think that for you to say something about it today was just really good. People need to hear it.
Well, and I want everybody to know they don't know this about you, because they think about you as a PhD and a doctor, but also a Marine. So thank you for your service to our country.
Well, it was my honor and pleasure, and great people that I worked with, and still stay in close touch with a whole bunch of them. In fact, I'm seeing one coming in down tomorrow. He was the commanding general of the Marine Forces, multinational forces in Anbar West, 2005-2006. Super good guy.
Oh, wow.
Can't wait to see him tomorrow. But at any rate, to the point about this, I think what I wanted to say today, not a whole lot of commentary on John, because John has been really on top of all this. What Common Sense is doing in conjunction with Senators Elliott and Senator Albritton, we're working to put together a public forum where people can come and talk to us about their ideas about how to approach the October 7th meeting with good ideas that can be incorporated into whoever is going to be making proposals. So I'll get the word on that right now, but we're working on the date and the place. And as soon as we do, I'd certainly ask you to advertise that for us, that we can have a good turnout. But I do think that talking to both of Elliot and Albritton today, we are convinced that we can do this project without the toll, and it's just a matter now of putting all the working elements. And part of those elements have to do with getting North Alabama and their politicians to work with us. We're running ads with Jim Ziegler's, doing that in Huntsville and Birmingham. He was on one of the Birmingham shows yesterday. Calling in. We're going to do more of that. And I think that, like what Albritton said, is very important, that when they did the contract, the contract committee in the Senate would not allow a formal contract to go forward for ALDOT to take get their lawyers that they need. And that 45-day delay, Sean, was an important signal across the bow here of ALDOT, that ALDOT is on the wrong track, and that people are starting to pay attention. Now, you mentioned the 45,000 or so that are in Jim Ziegler's Facebook page, and that has built a center of gravity down here, and that's great. But we have got to reach out to North Alabama, because this is going to be a political decision, and that decision can't just be done, you know, with the five senators down here. It has to be a joint effort. So Alberton and Elliott are taking the lead on this, and they're doing a good job to make sure that our interests are taken care of. And I can't thank them enough for what they're doing.
Well, it's the savvy move. Of course, I didn't expect anything else from y'all, but it's pragmatic and idealistically right. But, you know, in Alabama, if you don't make this an issue for areas outside southwest Alabama, just look at the track record. We're going to get bulldozed.
Exactly. You'll get run over. There's no question about it.
That's just so, that has been proven to be true, right?
Definitely. And I think what's good about this, though, is that, and I'll let Alberton come on and talk to you about this. He needs to do that, but he had to go to Montgomery today to do another one of these meetings. But you need to get up with him and talk to him and let him lay the groundwork for, you know, where he's going with this. And I think that people will feel very optimistic about the possibilities here. October 7th is a key date. We have got to have all of our ducks in a row, and we're going to do that. We're going to give Alberton and Elliott as much as they need to persuade the powers that be that this toll cannot stand.
Okay, and there's part of this, Dr. Lee, I want to talk about, because I get it. I do understand, you know, and I've said this from the word go, I'm a no-toll person. But I also, at least, you know, I watch the political calculus of this and wonder if this is going to be railroaded through, and we do end up losing this. Why is petitioning now for a severe reduction, a major reduction in this toll amount, not worth doing? Is that just giving comfort to the enemy, or what is that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's not the timing would be off. Let's hold their feet to the fire and see what we can do. And if Alberton is right that he's got the money to bond this out, then we need to do that. And if they're, look, I don't want to get ahead of myself on this, but if the negotiations are along the lines that we think are possible, then the toll issue could go away. If it doesn't go away for matters that we have no control over, then we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And I think that the easiest thing for people to do is go to stopthetoll.com and look at some of the studies that we put up there, particularly the Elizabeth River Tunnel System, project. That project had the same types of problems initially, a major political disaster, and the governor, McDonald, had to sort it out by throwing more money at it because people were going nuts about a toll in the tunnel. And I think that to a certain degree, you know, ALDOT has committed the same problems, creating a major PR storm, announcing $3 to $6 toll. And then instead of, I mean, look, there's no business model that they know right now, at least they haven't advertised it. So why are we talking about a $6 toll? We don't really know exactly what the cost is going to be other than what they've announced. All I'm saying is that let's scale back the project, take away the Taj Mahal, and then look realistically what is possible in terms of bonding as much as we can and then dealing with the residual part of it and coming up with a game plan there. And if it means, all right, I'll say it, if it means $1.79 tax like they had at the Easy Plan in Virginia, mm-hmm. then we may have to live with that. But that's something that's a whole lot different than $90 a month, you know, for people who can't really afford it.
Absolutely. Dr. Liu, and one last part of this, you mentioned it, I said it, and I hope this comes up in the meeting. I would like to hear if there are any, not the non-Taj Mahal plan, in anything you look at, whether you and I go down to buy a new pickup truck, or you and I go to look right. at an insurance program, the way it is they'll be like, well, here's the gold, here's the XLT super, you know, appointed one, but here's some other options for you as well. And I don't feel like we have been given the other options.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think part of that came about as a result of ALDOT's decision that in order to placate the various, quote, stakeholders down here, they had to just Taj Mahal it. Add this, add that, make everyone happy, and then we'll figure out a way to pay for it. It's an ass-backwards approach. I'm sorry, that's just the truth.
There you go. Dr. Liu, I appreciate the call,
okay.
and we'll be talking soon. And
all right.
Thank you. Dr. Liu Campomenosi, yeah, hosted the show for me a couple weeks ago. All right, let's do this. This is, Dalton, do we need to go to the break? We do need. Okay, we got to take one call before the break, and then y'all hold on. We're going to get to you. I do want to go, and I'm going to come back because I got people holding, want to talk about tolls, and we're going to get to you. But Jim in Mobile is talking about a subject we closed out the morning show with this morning, and this is something that needs to be resolved. If you didn't catch it in the morning show, we had a story about a exploding toilet from a lightning strike down in Florida. Jim, do you have experience with this?
I would say that I have a great deal of experience with methane gas. I was an underground coal miner for 26 years.
Oh, wow.
And I live here in Mobile. And when the subject come up, I knew exactly what had happened. Methane gas is odorless, colorless, and tasteless. The only way it can be detected is with a detection device.
A canary, right? A canary.
Well, no. Canaries, the traditional think it is for the methane gas. It wasn't. That was for air deficiency or deficiency.
Okay. Oxygen deficiency. Okay.
But on the methane gas, we had handheld detectors that we carried underground. Methane gas has got an explosive range of 5 to 15%, and the most volatile is 10%. You probably had a situation in that particular location where the methane gas was at the highest possible explosive range, which is 10%. And that thing went off like a dynamite. People don't realize it, and the listeners make sure they understand that your natural gas that you have in your home has got that is methane gas, but it's the odor has been added before you can detect it.
That mercaptan, is that mercaptan?
I'm sorry?
Is it called, isn't that mercaptan that they add in that smells so bad?
Well, I always called it rotten egg.
Yeah, I did too, but I think it's mercaptan. Okay, yeah, but that's so we can smell it.
That's where you can smell it. But really the actual only way you can detect it is with a methane detector. We and our equipment underground, everything had methane detectors on it. It would make an audible sound at 2%. And at 2.5%, it would shut the piece of equipment down. And it was just something you had to stay on top of all the time. Because I was in the deepest vertical shaft coal mines in the United States. Now, let me emphasize coal mines. There's other mines that are deeper. But the deepest vertical shaft coal mine was Jim Walker Resources' No. 4 mines in Brookwood. And that's the one I retired from. Like I said, I had 26 years underground. So I have a great deal of respect for methane gas, believe me.
There we go. I'd love to talk to you sometime over a beverage or something. I'd love to hear about what it's like in that mine for all those years. Thank you. Thank you for the call. And yeah, I mean, I didn't know all the stuff you did. I did know methane gas was flammable because when you light your... I just stopped myself right there. But I am familiar with the fact that methane would be flammable. Can I get out of this? Can we go to the break? Can we...
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:53 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad you are here. Phone line, text line, 343-0106. Y'all say hello to Fireball. He's in Daphne. Up next, hey Fireball.
Hey, guys, y'all doing a fantastic job. How y'all doing today?
I think I'm okay, and I'm okay, too. Yeah, both of us are okay.
All right, ask me how I'm doing, Sean.
Hey, Fireball, how you doing?
Ain't nothing to it, just like my paycheck.
There it is. You did not give me a time enough to get the symbols set up here for my rim shot. But
I hear you. I've been saying all along, now you look at the Cochrane Bridge or the Africatown Bridge. I know that the one over there, the new one that they're wanting to put in, is going to have to be higher than that one.
Correct. Yeah, it's going to be high enough to get oil rigs under and cruise ships and all that stuff.
Right. But then make it 3 lanes across?
It's going to be four. It's going to be four. The way that, and we'll see. I mean, the artist rendering, the little computer model that runs on TV news all the time. I think it's going to be, you know, two east, two west on the bridge, and then two east, two west in the tunnel. And then when you get to the Bayway, you'll have four east and four west.
Right, right. Well, and then they don't need to raise the Bayway up. They don't need to do that. But they do need to make it three lanes all the way across the Bayway.
Or four. Yeah, I mean, I think they're talking about you want to match the lanes that are coming in so you don't bottleneck it elsewhere. You know, if you have
right.
You have them coming in, if you then reduce by even a lane, then you bottleneck somewhere out all over the Bayway.
That's exactly right. And really, to tell you the truth, I think they need to make it all the way to exit 44.
Now, which one's that?
That's the Lockley exit.
Yeah, there's been talk that some, you know, the portion of the 2.1 billion, 2.4 billion, the numbers keep eluding me because they change, but a billion of that is for the Bayway. But I think some of that billion for the Bayway, if I'm correct, this is somewhere just in the back of my head, was for widening of I-10 on both sides as well. I don't know if it was to what mile marker, but it was not only, because then again, you can't go from having four lanes east and four lanes west and all of a sudden go back into two. You know, then you're going to have problems again.
Right, right. Well, maybe take it four lanes to Malvis exit and then three lanes to Lockley exit and two on all the way to Florida.
There you go.
They just got to downsize it.
Well, and appreciate the call, Fireball. That's one of the things we're asking. Are we getting... We haven't gotten a choice. We have not gotten the silver plan or bronze plan choice or the XL or the regular version, right? I mean, I have a feeling we're getting the fanciest edition. What is it, Denali's or King Ranch's or depends on the make, right? Toyota World, the Toyota Pro edition. We're getting all those, but we're not seeing what the regular, like, what if I didn't get that leather inside? What if I didn't? And those numbers may not change a whole bunch, but they might. I think if you're doing a good job of offering all ideas to the people here, you're going to have a press conference. You're going to say, okay, well, here, if we do this, it's 2.1 billion. If we do this, it's 1.6 billion. If we don't do this. Now, there are some things you have to do whether you want to or not. Like if you do one thing, you got to do all the things. But there are some things that probably can be tweaked, right? And like we said yesterday on the show in our conversation with Senator Tripp Pittman, you know, maybe working on the approach to the Wallace Tunnel beforehand. I don't think that means you don't go for a bridge one day. I mean, obviously we have traffic issues. I'm a no toll person. I'm a bridge person. Well, we need to build a bridge. We need it. We need a better way to get traffic back and forth. I mean, that's just factual. But maybe you do some work here to the Wallace Tunnel beforehand and see if you get a better approach to the Wallace Tunnel, like we were saying yesterday, coming through the Civic Center parking lot. And maybe that way some of this money could go to the Civic Center, help the Civic Center, and giving them a easement to put an approach route to I-10 to go to the tunnel going through there. Just one of these ideas. All right. Somebody asking, this is a good question. How many toll roads, bridges does the Alabama Toll Road Authority currently oversee? Don't know. I think they had to. I think they had to dust off this commission to get ready to put them in action in October. All right. So there you go. 1258 FM Talk 106.5. See if we can come up with some tolling Mobile River Bridge jokes. We're going to talk some comedy coming up in just a second. I'll explain when we return.